This is a continuation of an interview with Mrs. Albert Rossi by Michelle Glazer for the Beaverton Oral History Project, May 31st, 1983, Tape 2, Side 1.
Somebody was going to ask you. Oh, how did your Uncle Claude happen to come to Beaverton?
Well, I guess there wasn't any more work. They thought if they came to Portland, there would be more work after the war, you see, was over. So, and I don't think Uncle Claude ever did any work. I don't believe he what did he do for a living? Well, he had lived off his first wife's money. And then he did sell something. He sold, they were called electric machines, and they're sort of like, well, they're something like they use nowadays for the electric current. People that had arthritis and rheumatism and all that kind of thing. So that's the only thing he did. I don't know, really. He was traveling around all the time. And he and his wife were finally separated, and he moved back to Bend. He left here and moved back to Bend.
What was in Bend that
I don't know, because after they moved from La Pine, you see, they went to Bend, and there they made friends and knew the area quite well. I think he did work when he was in Bend. He worked, had charge of the gymnasium at the high school and did some of that kind of work. I don't know. But that's the reason Bend was sort of where a lot of the people that lived on the homesteads there all moved to Bend, you see. Because there was nothing for them to do out there after they, well, it wasn't really farming land. It would be more for cattle, and that's what they run in those part of the area now is cattle. Mm-hmm. But so that's the reason they went to Bend, because there was a mill there, you see. And whether or not Uncle Claude might have worked in the mill, I don't really know. He had a home there, sat right up on the river. But the folks never bought a house in Bend. They rented. And it was during the flu, you know, that there were so many died.
This was 1918?
Yes, that was, and that was when the flu struck, was right at the end of the war. And our family, my dad didn't get it, my brother didn't get it, and they moved out of the house and stayed, I think they went and moved with my grandmother, because Mama, she never got it, but all the kids, all of us got it. Mm. One by one, someone would be stricken with it and very sick. And no, but none of us died, of course. But I think Kathleen was the closest to dying, really. But there was no remedy for the darn stuff. But they just, things were, everybody was quarantined and the schools were closed, I guess. They just, well, it was a terrible, and it was many, many people died. Of course, it was all over, I guess, country.
Yeah,
I think the people here in Beaverton, I don't know. Albert, did any of your folks have the flu?
Have the flu?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
Do you remember it personally?
No, I don't remember it. I can think about my mother giving me some postum or a nurse. They had a nurse that came and relieved Mom at night. Because she had to take care of everybody in the daytime. And I can faintly remember that there was a lady there in white. And I remember I wanted something in the night, and she made me some postum. Whether I remembered it or they told me. Yeah. But there was a nurse there that came to. And my dad would come every day and just talk through the window to my mother or the door and see what was going on, if anybody was sick, and maybe she'd say, well, so-and-so is down today. They had terribly high fevers and nosebleeds with it. I don't know, but, and what they gave them was some kind of a powder.
What was it?
Well, I suppose it was for the fever. I don't know what it was, what the remedy was. The doctor, I guess, would come along someplace and hand out something for them to use, but they had no remedy for it.
Were there a lot of deaths?
Oh, many deaths, many deaths. They had some, I know a couple cousins died that lived up in that. They may not have lived there, they may have lived in Portland. I think they did, that were related, that did die from the flu. But they were just terribly sick, and, mm-hmm. and that was it. But my mother didn't ever get it. It's a wonder, having to take care of everyone. She was stronger than you might have thought. She was not a heavy woman, thin, really. She always thought she was tall, but I didn't think she was tall. She looked little to me. Mm-hmm. And all my sisters are, I have one other sister that's tall like me. The rest of them are just average. Mm. My father was tall, but he wasn't, well, he's about 5'11". And my brother, he was about that same height too, but Barbara and myself, both of us 5'8". Why we had to be that tall, I don't mind it now, but I hate it when I was in school. Yeah. Because there weren't that many kids. And you'd be the last one in the line, the tallest one. And the boys were all short. Seemed like they didn't grow as fast as the girls.
Hmm. What do you remember of the train ride itself
from
Hood River and from
Bay? Oh, well, I don't really remember. I just remember getting off the train. That's all I remember of it.
What was your first thought? Here is this land. It's so different from
the Yes, well, I didn't cry, but my mother said that Annabelle, my son, she just laid on the bed and cried and cried, and I want to go home. Hmm. I want to go home. I think we stayed, when we were going to leave Hood River, we stayed in a hotel before we got on the train. We were stayed in a hotel, and I think it was in Hood River, or maybe it wasn't Bend. Must have been Hood River overnight, because they moved off of this ranch, and my mother was very ill. She almost died when we were in Hood River. Mm. She got blood poison. Mm. They used to have wood stoves, and they used to, my dad always, they cut the kindling, and he got the fire ready for the next morning, you see. But my mother got a sliver in her finger. Oh, by gosh, it became infected, and he tried to take it, get it out. He couldn't get it. And she was finally hospitalized, and she really almost died from blood poison. And I remember we were in an open car, probably belonged to the man that owned they raised cherries and all fruit, you know, pears and whatever. And I remember riding in this open car, and we went down to see my mother at the hospital in Hood River. It was just probably a little, and she was in this room with several women. And she was getting better then by then, but her finger, of course they had to operate on it. It was stiff and it was just slick. There was no, mm-hmm. she couldn't bend it or anything, but I don't know where that sliver, they finally got it out, but it really, she was in the hospital about 10 days and they really didn't know if she was going to make it. Mm-hmm. And all those, my sister Georgie used to worry, said, Papa, what are we going to do if Mama doesn't live?
It would have been really difficult.
Yes, it would have been. And all. But even when we were little, I was 12 years old, that was the last, I got a doll. We weren't very, kids in those days were, well, we were very naive. We didn't know anything, really. And when I was 12 years old, and Annabelle was 10, we each got a doll for Christmas. And my Lord, now, what 12-year-old have a doll? But we were just like little women, I guess. We have pictures of Mama, and we were all sitting around her, and she's reading to us, and all. She loved good books, and we always read. We all were readers. Mm. That's how we entertained ourselves. Or we, when the hot days in the summertime, over here in the house, we didn't know what to do. She'd say, well, let's make some, we'd cut out little blocks for quilts. Mm. And we'd be cutting those out. And we'd sew them together. And we were working with our hands, she'd try to amuse us that way. Or we'd play with our dog, we played with paper dolls. We'd have them all over the bed, you know, these, like this room and that one, this person and that person. We'd cut out they were from the catalog. You know, well, like Montgomery Ward or Sears and Roebuck, they'd have the live, you see them now, the clothes design, we'd cut those people out, and they were our paper dolls.
Did you play different things in Beaverton than you had played, say, in Hood River?
Oh, We learned to play cards. We played like 500. In fact, we used to go to all the, well, they had card parties. And we were maybe 12, 13 years old. We played in the tournaments. Hmm. We were pretty good card players. I remember playing 500 and moving on to this table and that one and all that sort of thing.
This was in Beaverton?
In Beaverton.
Who sponsored these?
Well, my mother belonged to the Royal Neighbors, which was she had the insurance, but it was also kind of a social. They had ritualistic things, you know, all these different chairs you went through and you'd get the password and all that stuff. And they had a lot of different things. And they held it in the, well, there was a couple of, it was called the White Hall in Beaverton, and they had upstairs, they'd have their meetings, and that's where they'd have the dances. And then we'd go to Aloha, mm-hmm. Loa Grange, the Huber Grange, the Kenton Grange Hall, and that's where they'd have a lot of these things, really. And of course, there was always activities at the church as well. We'd go to, I don't know whether they had any card parties or anything like that, but they had dinners and things like that that we went to.
What other kinds of social activities do Beaverton have, say, as a city?
They had a moving picture. They had a picture show, and we used to go to that. And in fact, we were in a, put on a stage show. Huh. And it was sort of a community thing, and I know I was a dancer, one of these, like, the Rockettes we did, I remember it was Mighty Blue or something, we and then I sang a solo and danced. I was a Merry Widow or some Merry Widow waltz, and I remember dancing and singing. We had that right at the theater, and it wasn't connected with the school. It was just sort of a project that put on by the town, and so we all participated in that. And they used to have, we'd go to the theater, and they have grocery night. And if you got a lucky ticket, you get a whole bag of groceries. Hmm. And it was, we couldn't go too often because it was kind of expensive. I don't know if it cost us 2 bits or if we got in for 10 cents. I don't remember that. But I remember we'd go to the Rose Festival. We'd all go in the car. We always had a car. And
where was it? Downtown Portland then?
We'd go down to downtown Portland. For the day of the parade, we'd take a lunch, and we'd eat in the park, and then we'd stay for the evening, whatever. And they had street dances. Hmm. And so Annabelle and I, we would dance. We'd meet people, young men, and folks would be around there, but we'd be dancing in the street and everything. They'd stay until it was time to come home. Hmm. We'd spend the whole day seeing the parade, and they used to have more activities for people, seemed like. And you weren't, you weren't afraid. The people weren't snatching your purses. But I can remember one time we were downtown. We used to go to town on Saturday quite a bit, the family. We'd drive to Portland. And it was, of course, Depression time then. And we'd go by the theater, say, oh, wish we'd go to the show. And my dad would say, I wish I could take you. But he just didn't have the money. Maybe it cost 50 cents. Mm-hmm. And once in a while we'd go to dinner, it was 50 cents for to have a nice dinner.
Per person?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But if you just didn't have the money, you just didn't. But once in a while we'd have a splurge. Mm-hmm. And he'd take us out to dinner. But other than that, we made our own entertainment. But we used to go to the beach. I remember my brother came, he lived in Bend, he was married briefly up there, and he came, and he had a car, and we all went to the beach, and the first time we ever saw the ocean.
What did you think?
He said, oh, we're going to see it now, you're going to see it. And there it was at Oceanside, out of Tillamook, is where we went. And I remember we were in a Ford, open air thing, and went down this hill, and there was the ocean. Oh, we just thought that was wonderful. And we went quite often, not all in the summertime, but we'd camp. Hmm. See, everybody had tents, and we'd all be a whole group, and they'd cook the breakfast and cook the meals. And we went down by Pacific City and used to camp down there. Hmm. Then we camped at Cannon Beach. I remember we were all sleeping on the ground in tents, and my sisters would be there and their boyfriends, and my dad would be sort of the chaperone. But one time we didn't get to go. My mother stayed home, and myself and my younger sister, because we had to stay home with kind of the darn cow. Mama had to milk it, and she was a very poor milker. So we'd have to hold the cow's tail while she tried to milk that cow, and would be wandering down out in the field. It wasn't in the barn. It would be moving. And I don't think she ever got all the milk out of it. I don't know. But I remember that one time we didn't go, and my dad went, because they young people wanted to go, and so he went with them.
So you lived on a farm when you were
Beaver? Well, we weren't. It wasn't actually a farm. It was right over here on Berthold. We had a garden, and he raised hay. Because I remember helping make those, well, I used to call them hay bumps. You used to get the pile of hay up, and you know, before it was baled, or I don't think they even baled it. I think they put it up in the loft, loose. And we had, we had chickens. We had chickens, and they were stolen. And we always figured, we lived in a neighborhood. Well, they were wonderful people, but we did have some neighbors. The man drank pretty much. And he had other fellows came there, and they'd all get looped, and they were musicians. And so when there was trouble, Mrs. Hollenbeck was her name, she'd call up on the phone, because we were the only one who had a telephone in that neighborhood. And, I think Berthold's had one, but we were at the other end. And so if anybody needed a phone, they'd come to our house, or if there was somebody, they'd say, well, we have a message for so-and-so. But anyway, Mrs. Hollenbeck called and said, Mr. Benson, can you come over? She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's a terrible fight going on over here. So he'd go over and try to straighten them out and throwing these guys out of the house. And this one time they had a terrible battle, and the one man hit the other guy with a banjo in the eye and knocked his eye out. Well, anyway, our chickens one morning were gone. All was left were the feathers. And we went down, there was a sort of a meadow right back through here. And there were a lot of chicken feathers, and I think they probably killed them, and they took the feathers off and sold them. We always figured that it was a neighbor.
The Hollenbecks?
Yes, the man, or the man, another fellow used to hang around there, Pete Vandehye's name was. We figured that those guys stole those chickens and sold them so they'd get some booze. So we never had any more chickens.
Was alcoholism a big problem around here?
Well, I don't know, but it seemed like we always had somebody in our neighborhood that was drunk. And we had some people across the street. There was two ladies, and I think they were, now thinking about it, I'm sure they must have been lesbians. This one woman was very mannish, and the other one was a very delicate-looking lady, and she had a couple children. But anyhow, this one woman was quite of a, she drank. And this was later on. My younger sister wasn't married either, and she had a boyfriend. Anyhow, one night, there was a big fight going on over there. We could hear him. So my dad and Aunt Bill, who was my sister's boyfriend, they went over there, and this Jean, she had locked herself in the bathroom and she was going to commit suicide. And I guess this other woman had called to see if my dad wouldn't come over and see. So they called the police. There was some cop came, but she didn't commit her suicide. I don't know what she was. She was drunk or something. But it seemed like we always had that little people around. He says, I wish that we'd get somebody. They'd move. I'm sick and tired of. But poor Mr. Hollenbeck, they finally moved and he just had a alcoholic problem, that's all.
What other kind of crime was there?
Crime.
Well, that's not a crime.
But no, it isn't. But I mean, it chickens. Was. Yeah. Well, I don't know. In school, there were a few that used to. Well, we didn't have lockers, but they'd get in your purses. And a few people would be little pickpockets, but I never had any of that trouble. But I don't remember any kind of problems at school, nobody being kicked out or anything, really. There wasn't anything like that. In fact, this Saturday we're having our, well, we have every year, I'm sick of it, but 10 years reunion from 1925 to 35. Last year was our 50th, because I graduated from in 1932. Mm-hmm. And so we had our 50th anniversary, plus all this other. Well, the lady that has always been in charge, she was in the class of 30. She always had me kind of help her. Well, last year she dumped it all onto me. So I had to get I've sent out 350 invitations, notices. So our big deal is this Saturday at the Beaverton High School. It's a potluck. Mm-hmm. And but I'm hoping this, and I've had letters, of course. I've been getting letters from old people that live all over the country that aren't going to be able to come, and they send little letters. We ask them if they can't come to share a letter. But they've been sending me money. Mm. Because when I send out the notices, I tell them how much it costs for the printing and everything. So I get a $5 in the bill letter all the time. I think, oh, darn it, I wish it wouldn't send me all that money. Of course, I could use it, and I'm going to use some of it for the coffee and, well, those things. So this is irrelevant. It isn't pertaining to my history, really, but anyway.
Is the train you came out on the red train?
Yeah, it was a red electric.
Uh-huh. That's a famous train, from what I've heard.
Yeah, there was a terrible accident, you know. There was, what year was the accident on the red electric, Albert? It was down here at Raleigh Station. Mm-hmm. And the train was, some of the engineer, I guess, was killed. And there was one fellow, had his leg cut off. You mean in the history book?
In that railroad book out here, I think it shows it.
Well,
you take
it on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to take it off. It's out. Albert, you get it for her. Well, I'll get it. You'll get it, honey, just a moment. Get it, and it tells about it. But that was there's a bad accident. It was before we lived here, I think. I don't know. Or maybe we did, but we didn't know about it. But he did. But my dad, when he worked in Portland, he rode the red electric, and it went as far as Reedville, and then it turned around. Well, Reedville is up here, you know where Aloha is? Mm-hmm. Well, it's beyond Aloha, probably a couple miles. It went up that far, and then it turned around, and then didn't go on to Forest Grove or Hillsboro. And so when he would hear the train going up, he knew it was time to leave, and he'd walk. At that time, he didn't have a car. Mm. And he'd walk to Beaverton and get on the train.
This was time to leave work?
It was time to go to work into Portland. That was when he worked. I don't know if he was working on the docks then or if he was working. He worked for Gill Brothers Seed and Feed, I think.
How did he get into Portland?
Well, he rode on the bus, on the train.
Oh, I see.
See, he walked to Beaverton and then, let me see. 1920, I guess, was this is some of the thing, but I don't know.
Why was it such a famous?
Well, it was, it took an hour to run from Portland, from Beaverton to Portland on the train.
An hour to go to Portland?
Oh, that's Newburgh. That's Newburgh. That's Newburgh. This is Bertha. Bertha.
Back, this way you'll find it.
Oh, well, this is. Well, this is it. The Oregon, California manager, Richard Kohler, named the station having Bertha Station. Only remembrance among railroad people is a disastrous head-on collision of two electric trains causing heavy loss of life and injury in the early 20s.
So you were very young.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about it at all. Mm-hmm. But it was called a red electric. I can remember.
Did you ever see those red electrics? You didn't. Mm-mm.
I remember going down 4th Street and getting on the train, though.
So it ran from Reedway?
Reedville.
Reedville.
Reedville into Portland.
Where did it stay? Was it at the station there in Portland then?
No, 4th Avenue. Where did it go?
They went to the Union Depot, is where the trains went, but they had a depot on 4th Street, 4th and Stark, I think.
Yeah, and so people would just get on it there. I remember getting on the train with Georgie.
Come right up 4th Street.
and people
all the
get
way out.
And it came traveled along like the Bertha Beaver Highway that way.
Hillsdale.
But it was really, see, the opening city, Portland City Ticket Office was opened January 27, 1917, 8 to 10:30 p.m.
Red Electric Car started in 1914.
Oh,
when did
steam train going up 4th Street?
1914, Red Electric.
When
said.
Did it end?
Well, when did it end? Oh,
probably says in there.
Probably, and this is a read. This
1930 or 31 or somewhere over there. Hmm.
Well, let's see, but by round tickets from Beaverton was 50 cents weekend and 15 day you buy a pass, I guess. But here it says Hillsborough, McMinnville, and Yamhill.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend tickets on sale Friday, Saturday, return limit. But this was first, they just went to the train that he would take, the hour that he had to take it. Maybe it just went to Reedville and came back.
Hmm.
And the others might have gone on further. Probably.
So you caught it at Reedville? When you
no, no, they'd catch it in Beaverton.
But you, when you said you rode it in.
Oh, well, no, I'd catch it. I don't remember. I caught it from Portland. I remember being in Portland, catching it on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd get off right in Beaverton.
But when you first came and you were caught.
Oh, when we first came, we must have come right from Hood River on it all the way out.
Mm.
We probably changed trains.
Yeah.
We came on the, I suppose that was the Union Pacific then.
Mm.
And then we got into Portland. Why? Maybe it was Portland we stayed all night. I'll bet it was a hotel in Portland.
Yeah.
And then that was, I can't remember what it looked like or anything. And then we got on the train and came to Beaverton. We probably caught it on 4th Street. Or maybe we caught it on at Union Station. We probably got off the, maybe there. And then got on the train. What it costs, I don't know a thing about it. I suppose they made a little, they picked strawberries, and my mother worked in a, where they sorted the apples, you
yeah.
see, on that, where he was
that
Manny.
Was Hood River.
Hood River.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and that's where she worked in the, I can remember in Hood River there was the irrigation ditches, and being warned not to get near the water, because you could, they were fast, you could fall in there. But we must have minded pretty well, because we just didn't do anything.
We
weren't,
survived.
We survived. I don't think any of us were terribly ill. Only I did have polio when I was 8.
Hmm.
I was, thank God I wasn't crippled. It's a wonder I wasn't. I have one weak arm. My arm isn't as strong. But out of the blue, I just, I guess I had like the flu. It was on a Sunday morning, and I can remember that I said to my dad, in those days we didn't, we had a, I don't know if our bathtub was in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mama had a big tub, and we'd take our baths, you see, in front of the stove. And I remember getting dressed, and I couldn't put my hands up to my waist.
Mm.
And I said to my dad, I can't hands up. And so that was when, and so they called the doctor, and he used to, of course, come to the house. And he diagnosed it right away. It was polio. Infantile paralysis, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know where I got it from, because I was the only one in the area that had it.
It came on so suddenly.
This is a continuation of an interview with Mrs. Alice Rossi by Michelle Glazer for the Beaverton History Project, May 31st, 1983, Tape 2, Side 2.
Motion Picture Studio, yes. It was right up the street here, like at the Erickson. There's the old offices still on one side there. But anyway, and they kind of developed it in here.
Mm.
They kind of put streets in where they were supposed to be. There, back of those houses, there was a street. But anyhow, they had this great big studio they built. Oh, it was a big place, and well, there were some movie stars, and we kids were in some of them. We used to go to the office and sit there and waited to be cast, in the, be in the casting. And well, I was in a school scene. They took us over to Cedar Mills, and we were in a like a school. And I remember that one of the directors took us all for a ride in a big car one Sunday. And I can't remember the movie actress. She sent me and another girl a pretty doll. And I have That doll is someplace, and I can't figure out where it is, but it was, I was fair and she was dark. Well, turned out I got the dark-haired doll and she got the fair. I think she really meant it, but she sent it from Hollywood. And they were small dolls, but they had real hair and the eyes closed.
Who was the actress?
I don't recall her name.
Whose studio was it?
Well, it was put on, Dr. Watts started it. No, he had the, there was an airport after that. Well, it was Premier Pictures. It was from Hollywood, and they made quite a few movies. One of them was The Perils of Pauline. And the other one, we've got a picture out there. It's something about the Vengeance. We have a big picture of one of the things because the local people were in it. And they built we used to come home from school. They had a big log cabin that they built. And I remember when they burnt it, you see, it was like it was out. And my brother-in-law, my sister was married, my older sister was married. And her husband was a small man. So he was he took her place, you know, the star's place, and they carried him through this burning. They put up a bunch of timber, because there wasn't any woods in this part here. Mm-hmm. And they put up some forest, like big log trees and stuff. They set him on fire. And they carried him from that cabin burned and carried her through the timber. Well, he was the fill-in for her. And I can remember they had it was a big, big, big building. And they had like regular Hollywood set in there, like a city, you know, false houses. We kids used to go in there and play. And they had a big dance, like it was a ball. And one of my sisters, Barbara, I suppose she was about 17 at that time, maybe 16. And she was in it, and so her partner, they made them sort of be in the background, get away, because she was just pretty as a darn movie star. And so they had them, they were in this whole group, and they wanted them to be in the, not to be up in the front. Because,
take away all the...
Yes, you know, but no, they, and then anyhow, this was all bare land. Then after the movie studio went away, they had an airport here, and they used this big building for an airport. And then they had a speakeasy. Mm-hmm. It was called the Silver Star Inn, and it was built when the studio was here. Mm-hmm. And they had dancing and all kinds of things, but it got so, I think it was during the Prohibition days, and there was a lot of course, I was beyond my time, before me, and I don't, even my sisters weren't old enough to go, I don't think.
Why did the studio leave?
Well, I guess it was didn't become very successful, really. They had it. They're doing something about that now too. They're getting. They've got quite a. They're going to have tapes on it, and they've got some of the reels of it that they've been able to get.
Okay.
Well, it's connected with the city of Beaverton. And because one of the councilmen called here one day, has talked to my husband, wondered if he had any pictures of some of the old studios and all about the pictures. And they have some reels that they're going to get together so that people can rent them if they want to.
For what reason did Hollywood decide to put a studio in Beaverton, Oregon?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Madame Schumann-Hayek had some money in it.
Who's that?
She was quite an opera singer. And she was one of the, had money in it, and her son was here. She was here for a little bit, and I think she stayed. Well, I don't know where they put them up. There were some rooms in that big building, though. I think that they may have stayed there, you know. I can remember going to a restroom upstairs, and I think they had some rooms where when they were on location, they lived. And maybe they came out in Portland. Maybe they stayed in Portland some and came out. They were automobiles by that time. But why? They were only here about 4 years and all. But they thought, this would be a big, maybe this would be part of something for Beaverton, a big movie studio. But it didn't last.
Which 4 years was this?
Well, this must have been, I imagine I was around 10 years old, so probably a couple of years after we moved here. I mean, after I went to school, that is. I might have been 10 years old.
My mid-20s?
That was in the 20s, yes. All right. And I'd run through this afterwards, run through the airport and look if there was anything coming down. And a plane did crash one time. Oh, right down here in the ditch. And I know our neighbor there, he's from around here too, and he was in that plane, and there was a couple, but nobody was hurt, but that big plane just came down and crashed.
So it's all built up, it's all houses now? All
houses now, yes. There's the only place that isn't built up, on the other side of those big trees, you can see there. See, our property our property ended up where those big trees are, way back there, those big maple trees. It was all through there, and now there's all houses, but it was really pretty through there. But anyhow, there is a big park, an open area. Well, it's about two blocks. There's a street, Berthold. There's Hazel and Berthold. And then on the other side of Berthold, it's all from Erickson, which is down there by the school, clear to Menlo. It's all clear, and it's a city park. And in fact, there were neighbors of ours that owned part of that, and when they died, they left their property to the city of Beaverton. They moved out and built the house in 1932. I remember we used to go down there, and why they ever moved out here, they hated it, and they lived here all this time, but they, anyhow, when they died, they donated their land to the city of Beaverton, and they do have a lovely park over in there, and that's where we have our Good Neighbor Days and big affairs.